This is the lecture for August 1995. The title is Iran in Prophecy. Historical events in the Middle East can change the shape the political environment has very quickly. 20 years ago, you could take an El Al jet from Tel Aviv to Tehran, which was the capital of Iran. Iran, the early Persia, was then under the rule of the Shah, and he was one of the Islamic powers who tried to get along with Israel at that time. But then Khomeini came to power. Things changed dramatically and quickly. Iran, all of a sudden, became one of the most hostile powers against Israel. It is still very antagonistic to Israel. Here we are in 1995. But the Middle East is used to quick changes in authority and influence. The Bible has some very interesting things to say about Iran in prophecy, or if we use its ancient name, Persia. And in the Bible, there are two other names that describe this region of the world in which we find the modern state of Iran. Those names are Elam, E-L-A-M, and Media. They also are to be considered when we look at the prophecies dealing with this area of the world. Let us first read about Persia in these matters dealing with the history of the world, starting from the 6th century B.C. onward. The reason we should start there is simply because in the book of Daniel we have a history that was given to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and interpreted by the prophet Daniel, which describes what would be happening in that area of the world from the 6th century B.C. all the way down to the coming of the Messiah, that is, the second advent of Jesus Christ back to this world, reaching out even into our period of time today. This second chapter of the book of Daniel mentions this Persia. It starts out by mentioning Babylon, which was the extensive power then in authority over the Middle East in the early part of the 6th century B.C. We find that this prophecy, which is recorded in the second chapter of the book of Daniel, is about a vision, a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and the interpretation of that dream that was given by Daniel the prophet. The dream was about an idol that was seen on the plains of Shinar. And the idol had a head of gold, and then the next part down in the area of the arms was silver, and then getting farther down it went into copper, and then finally the legs were made of iron. Finally, right at the very bottom, we have the feet, and with 10 toes, and they were partially with iron and partially with miry clay. We find that the vision did not stop with this image. There was a mountain in the distance, and Nebuchadnezzar was able to see a rock that was carved out of the mountainside without hands. But it came rolling down the mountainside straight for the idol, this image, with the head of gold and the feet of the 10 toes, and it strikes the feet, not the head, not the middle part of the body, not the legs part of the body, but it hits the feet where the 10 toes are, those made up of iron and miry clay, and it topples this image over onto its side. And then we read that the rock pummels the remains of this image into dust, and then the winds come along and blow that dust into all areas of the earth. That was the vision, and Daniel was the person who told Nebuchadnezzar what it was all about. And it involves a history of the world. From the time of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who was the king over the Neo-Babylonian Empire, and he came to power in the traditional chronology at 604 B.C., and then he ruled for a little over 40 years. In that period of time, we find Daniel was there with his three friends. And we find the 12 chapters of Daniel, which were written beginning at that very period of time, and then going on until after the time of Nebuchadnezzar's death, and then the arrival of Media, and then Persia on the scene. And Daniel was the person who lived through that period of time in the middle part of the 6th century B.C. But let us look now at this image, or the interpretation of this image, that Daniel gave to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, because it refers to this Persia, or as we say today, Iran. And since the title of this lecture today is Iran in Prophecy, we will start with this historical scenario back here in the 6th century to set the pace. And we will not stop, however, with that 6th century depiction of Persia. We will come on down into our day today, because that's what we're interested in finding out. What does the Bible say will be occurring in that part of the world in the next few years in advance of us? And how will Persia, that is this Iran, have an effect on world history in the next few years that are just in advance of us? Well, it starts out here in this Daniel chapter 2 with the interpretation of this image, and I think that that's where we will begin in verse 31. Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, "You, O king, saw and beheld a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible," which it means fearful. It was fearful to look at. "This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay." You will notice that as the image gets closer to the ground, that the value of the metals and then finally of the earth itself deteriorates until it finally gets to this feet area where we find part iron and part clay. "You saw till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces." The first thing that you have to realize here, that when you get to the full interpretation, is that Daniel is going to tell him in a minute, in fact, I'm going to quote it, that he was the head of gold, and that each kingdom that would come after that would be, in effect, deteriorating in its power and its authority, starting with gold and then, of course, silver and then brass, copper, and then finally iron and then clay. And we have that same type of an understanding today, that the precious metal is on top in this particular instance here. He goes on to say in verse 37, "You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven have given you a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory." He's talking to Nebuchadnezzar. "And whereas the children of men, or wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, hath he given unto your hand, and hath made you ruler over all. You are this head of gold." Now there is the beginning of the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. And you know, that verse 38 tells us something which is very interesting that most people overlooked. It says that Nebuchadnezzar had a worldwide influence, an influence that reached out into all areas of the world, though his headquarters was at Babylon and in Mesopotamia. And we see the ruins of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon to this very day. I was there several years ago, and I've even picked up clay tablets with Nebuchadnezzar's name inscribed on them and also embossed on them. And so we know clearly where Nebuchadnezzar was at the time. And here was Daniel talking to this king. And he said that you are the head of gold. And he had a type of a typical kingdom, which or empire, really, that reached out to embrace the entirety of this world. Now, that does not mean that he had soldiers in the New World or down in South Africa or over in Australia and places like that. But he controlled the economics of the world to such an extent that he was, for all practical purposes, head of the world system at the time. And that is what we find Daniel telling him. "You are the head of gold. And after you," now here we find the time, the chronology coming down, "after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you." And that means inferior in power and in authority and the extent of power and all of that, "which shall bear rule over all the earth." Now that's rather interesting too. Now we're going to find out that this kingdom is the subject of this very lecture that we're talking about today. The kingdom would be Persia, or Iran as we see it today. And it's the second kingdom, it's the silver kingdom that is mentioned here. And then it goes on to say that there will be a third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Now, that's rather interesting, too. Now, I must insist that we understand that, and not in the sense that soldiers would be everywhere throughout the earth and that one government would be there, but that the philosophical principles and the economic principles and the economic power of the world at this particular time would be essentially in the hands of, first of all, Babylon, and then we'll see in a moment Persia, and then down to Javan, which is a European power, sometimes and normally associated with Greece and to the north of Greece, even into the Balkans. And that is a very important point for us to remember at this time because of the Balkan Wars that we are very much aware of. And that is the third kingdom, and it's to have a rule over all the earth. Then in verse 40, it speaks about the fourth kingdom. It shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things. And as iron that breaks all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And then it speaks about these toes, the 10 toes which are on the feet. Some of them are made of miry clay, and the other are iron, and they don't mix very well. They're very weak. It's the weakest of all. And it's interesting that this image of this Babylonian kingdom, shall we say, that is to last until a stone is found coming down out of a mountain. That stone, by the way, is representation of the kingdom of God, the second advent of Christ, who will destroy this image on its base. So the base part of it will be not only at the bottom, but it will be base in the sense of being not of the same quality of power and authority as was Babylon, which started with gold, and then Persia, which came down to silver, and then brass, and then iron, and then finally we come to iron mixed with miry clay. And it says that verse 43, here's the interpretation of that Daniel gave to him, whereas you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. It means at this end time, when these 10 kings are destroyed, and may I just say this, that these 10 kings are also mentioned in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel a little later on. I'll talk to you about that in a moment. They're also mentioned in the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel. And you go to the book of Revelation and you will find that the 10 kings are mentioned there as well in the 17th and 18th chapters of the book of Revelation. And these have to do with the end time. So we find a chronological, historical sequence of events, starting with the 6th century B.C. and coming all the way down until our time today. Now, those 10 kings that we see here on the feet of this image have not yet come into power. When they do come into power, they're going to be relatively weak because they will not really agree with one another all that much. If you'll look, however, at the 17th, in the 18th chapters of the book of Revelation, it will be God who will cause them to cohere for a short time, about a 3.5-year period, and they will have an immense power in the Middle East, and it's going to come out of the Jerusalem area over there in that part of the world. It goes on to say that in verse 44, that once this image falls over on its side and is pummeled into dust, notice this, and in the days of these kings, these ten that represent these toes represent, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That is, for the rest of the recorded prophetic history. And that is what Daniel was trying to tell Nebuchadnezzar. But let's not forget one more point. Verse 45, Daniel went on to say, for as much as you saw us that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king, that is King Nebuchadnezzar, what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is certain. Now, what you have to do from this chapter 2 is to go on over to chapters 7 and 8, and you will find it further discussed over there. And it's made pretty clear who the first kingdom was. In fact, that's made clear right at the very beginning. That was the Babylonian kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. When you come to Daniel chapter 7, he sees another vision. And this is in the last years of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. And in actual fact, Nebuchadnezzar was already dead, and his son Belshazzar was now on the throne. This is the middle part of the 6th century B.C., coming down some 40 years after this first vision. And we find another vision that was given to Daniel, and he begins to interpret it here. In this case, he builds upon the former one in chapter 2. that was put out very plainly there. But chapter 2 did not go into detail concerning many of these kings, only the king of Babylon. What it was trying to do at that time was to establish the whole image as being a Babylonian kingdom, really. It makes no difference if the next segment after Nebuchadnezzar was Persia, as we will see in a few moments, yet the head was Nebuchadnezzar. It's going to be guided by Babylonian principles, you see. And then coming down to the brass portion, which is Javan, a European power, still governed by the head, which is the Babylonian principles. And then coming to the legs, and the legs, of course, made of iron, very strong in this particular case, and two divisions of them, but still governed by the head, you see, Babylon. And then we come to the feet, 10 toes. These are the last kings that are going to exist on earth before the kingdom of God emerges under Christ Jesus. But they are still governed by the head, which is Babylon. Now, in the book of Revelation, what do we find this whole system called? It's called Mystery Babylon. And that is the kind of condition that we are in today. Though we live in the United States of America, that is from where I'm making this broadcast, or in Britain, or in Australia, or it doesn't make any difference, in the western part of this world, the democratic countries, we love them, and we feel that they are the best types of government that's ever been on earth, and I would agree with that 100%. Still, at the same time, we are still being governed by Babylonian principles. We are not being governed by the principles of the kingdom of God yet. That will come when this image is destroyed. So we are still a part of Babylon. That is why the image needs to be completely destroyed and thoroughly annihilated. And then the kingdom of God will emerge, which Jesus Christ will be the king. And once that happens on the earth, which there will be a kingdom for 1,000 years, it's going to be very different than this Babylonian type of a kingdom that we have here at the present time. Now, in delineating these four powers leading down to these 10 kings, we find in chapter 7 here more details about some of these kingdoms that are being mentioned here. Daniel, it says in chapter 7 of verse 2, he says, I saw in vision by night, and beheld the four wings of heaven striving upon the great sea. Now this means that a storm was being seen, and the waves were roaring. He sees four great beasts come up out of the sea. They're coming up out of the ocean. They are diverse from one another. The first was like that of a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld to the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. That verse 4 there actually describes what happened to Nebuchadnezzar in the 4th chapter of the book of Daniel, which I have not quoted. That is when he, in his arrogance, was saying that he ruled over all of the kingdoms of the world, and then God sent him into a state of madness for 7 years. But finally, a man's heart was given to him again. But you remember, he even had hairs that grew like eagle's feathers and things of that nature. This is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar in the Babylonian kingdom. Now it speaks about the second beast. It was like a bear, and it raised up on its one side. It had three ribs in the mouth, and it had the teeth in between the teeth of it. And they, that is the teeth, said thus unto it, that is to the beast, arise and devour much flesh. Now that's the second one. It's called a bear. You're going to see in a moment just who this bear is. The first was Babylon, and next comes the bear. After that, in verse 6, we find another beast of these four, and he has the appearance of a leopard. And on the he has four heads and dominion. That is, an extensive dominion was given to this particular beast. That answers to the brass portion of the image. Now the bear answered to the silver portion, and of course the lion, the first one, answered to the head portion, which was gold. But coming on down, he sees the fourth beast. Now, this fourth beast in verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, it means fearful, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the rest of these beasts here with the feet of it, and out of it came 10 horns. These 10 horns are analogous to the 10 toes. So you see, we're getting closer to the end of time. And in fact, these 10 toes are the kingdoms that will exist when the kingdom of God is established on earth, but they must be destroyed first. Now, this kingdom here is iron at first, but we read back in Daniel chapter 2, the 10 kings themselves are iron mixed with miry clay. So a part of this image, you see, is that bear. That's what we want to look at there. It's the silver portion. And when you go on to look at this, you will find that the interpretation is made pretty clear and just who these are. You're going to find that when you look carefully at it in the 8th chapter here, that these beasts are numerated even further. And it's most important in another vision that was given to Daniel, and this is in the 8th chapter. And if you'll find in this particular case here that the second beast, which was that of the bear, in this particular vision in chapter 8 here, is given a name in verse 20. And it's given two horns as well, this particular section of it. And it's called Media and Persia. And then finally, the brass portion is called Grisha, as we have it here in the King James Version, but in the original is Javan. It means an extensive area, including Greece, but also including the Balkans region. And then it goes on to the fourth kingdom, and then it says, in the latter part of this kingdom, the latter part, right down to the 10 toes and all of that, will come this very terrible kingdom, which will be destroyed by Jesus Christ when he comes the second time. But the thing I want to point out here is that you have to go all the way through the book of Daniel into chapter 2 at first, and then chapter 7, and now in chapter 8, to get an interpretation of just exactly who was meant when it spoke about the head portion, the arms portion, and the body portion of silver, and the brass portion, the iron, and so forth. Now, the iron portion is never identified. You also find that the 10 toes at the end, at the bottom of the image, are never identified either. They are not identified in the book of Revelation either, which is most interesting. But you find that the first three are identified. That is, the head of gold is Babylon, identified as Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. The second portion of the silver, it's a bear portion. It's identified as two here, Media and Persia. Two kings or kingdoms that were united together, something like England and Scotland, very, very close to one another, and in some cases we find they are analogous to one another, but still very different. And the same thing is going to apply at the end time prophecies here. And then going on, it says Grisha, but it means Javan is the next one, and the rest are not identified. What we're interested in this lecture, however, is Iran, which is the modern name for Persia, this second division here of this Babylonian image. Now I want you to turn with me back to Daniel chapter 7, because it's important. We find in chapter 7 that whereas this image that Daniel saw and Nebuchadnezzar dreamed about, and Daniel interpreted it and all of that, though it was a composite image, the whole image itself will not be completely destroyed until the kingdom of God is established here on earth, until that stone comes down off of that mountaintop and hits the image on its base. Then the image topples over and is pummeled into dust, and the winds blow it into the four directions. Not until that time does this whole image cease. It means it's going to be in existence until this end time. And since the head, as I said before, is Babylon, it's called the Kingdom of Babylon. And a part of that, very near the head, happens to be Persia and Media. You see the point? The very kingdoms that we're thinking about here. And there are some major prophecies about Media and Persia, and I'm going to give them to you in the second part, the second side of this, because we're going to find some most interesting things about these kingdoms here. But in Daniel chapter 4, chapter 7, I beg your pardon, it says that these kingdoms here, all of them, all the first three that are identified, we find that something is going to happen to those first three. Babylon, Persia, or Media with Persia, and Javan, sometimes translated as Greece. Something is going to happen to those three. It says in chapter 7 and verse 11, I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words of the horn, the little horn, I beheld even till the beast was slain. This is the particular beast of the end time. And his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, these other three, Babylon, Persia, and Javan, they had their dominion taken away back there in the 6th century B.C., back in the 5th century B.C., back in the 4th century B.C. But their lives were prolonged for a season and time. In other words, though the ostensible part of the kingdom or empire disappeared, and you cannot be able to see them in evidence as they were formerly back there in the earlier period when Daniel saw them, they're going to still be simmering below the surface. That's what it says. Their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And if you'll look down in verse 15, Daniel said, "And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them," that is these angels that stood by, "and asked him the truth of what this means. And he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four," that's starting with Babylon, then Persia, and then Javan, and then the Iron Kingdom, "are four kings or kingdoms which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever." What it means is that these kingdoms mentioned here by Daniel in Daniel chapter 2, reiterated in chapter 7 and in chapter 8, are going to have a continual existence, some beneath the surface a little bit, you know, until the very end of time. And that includes Media and Persia, who happens to be a part of the silver section of this image. That is what we want to discuss about Persia, about Iran. We need to know just what is going to happen in regard to that portion of the world over there that this image is depicting. It's a part of the Babylonian history from the time that Nebuchadnezzar was there, seeing the vision for the first time, and also at the time when Daniel gave the interpretation. On the B side of this tape, we'll be able to explain this in greater detail. Turn over the cassette tape at this juncture for the B section of the lecture, Iran in Prophecy.